Let me tell you, you're right. Let me tell you this. I was doing so well. No, we're still going. We're still going. Tonight's episode of NXT was one of the most full that we've had in a really long time. We're gearing up towards War Games, and we're going to talk about it. Weird vibrations and all. Don't you go changing.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right, so let me explain that. So what, the second the countdown happened and we're coming up, there's a vibration.
Yeah.
In the pant region
under my leg.
Yeah.
Try to keep my phone during the show.
Yeah.
Under my leg.
Yeah. So you just a weird physical oscillation.
I'm in demand. So I was,
no, you're in California.
Yeah. What?
Demand's in Iowa. Welcome to the NXT After Show, everybody, right here on AfterBuzz TV. We're going to be talking about tonight's episode of NXT for November 8th. Unfortunately, we are down one Bill Handstock, but next week, we're going to have a full panel of four.
Holy smokes.
Oh, what does that mean? You know exactly.
It's a four-pan.
Yeah, it's a four-pan. Yeah. I am one of your hosts, and it's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. That's the hobo.
Yep, at True Hobo on the Twitter and the Instagram. I've had more pictures to post recently, so I've been a little bit more...
Creepy.
Creepy?
Yeah, what... I mean, you're just posting pictures of life on the street?
No. I people take pictures of my matches.
Oh.
And then I select the pictures I like the best, and then I add them to Instagram.
I see.
Yeah.
Very good. And Instagram is the same at True Hobo.
At True Hobo.
Very good.
Yeah.
If you want to look into the visual life of the hobo.
I'm on a whole bunch of platforms. Just uploaded a video to the YouTube.
About the wrestling, pro wrestling?
Yeah, the Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know,
as
Brian,
a concept
Brian
or like a
movie?
Is it like a movie review? Or is it?
It is not.
Okay.
There is a reference to the movie.
Okay.
Closer to the end, but it is not a movie review. It is speaking about the Matrix that we all live in.
What? Let's talk more about that later, because this is a pretty stacked episode of NXT, and we also do have a little bit of news to talk about.
I just wanted to mention it.
Okay, well, we'll mention it a little bit more at the end. Starting out strong with our boys, Heavy Machinery. Oh, boy. These guys are here to have a good time and hurt people.
They're good at that. They're good at both of those things, respectively.
Yeah.
Very talented at the merrymaking and the destruction. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that... comfortability. Now, they were up against Chris Payne and Sean Maluda. Sean Maluda, very very familiar with him. Chris Payne, kind of familiar with him. He's been around here and there.
He looks very familiar.
Mm-hmm. Sweet arm tats. But do you think that Heavy Machinery is getting a little bit too complacent?
I don't think so, honestly, because they were doing stuff that we hadn't seen them do before tonight. Mm. It seems like they're really enjoying experimenting in that ring, seeing what works, what doesn't. They're just enjoying their run. Even if it isn't for the championship right now, they're just enjoying themselves.
And it's having the confidence with the whoever it may be at the other side of the ring in order to take those chances, because... Otis, a good old dozer, hit us with a worm.
Yeah. Big wormed elbow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a heavy elbow.
Oh, my God.
He jumped back up and dropped back down with such ferocity.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Almost a little surprised that they're not on 205 Live.
Yeah. I mean, and Tucker Knight with that springboard elbow. I mean, they're really testing the physics of the wrestling ring. They're trying to really see what they're capable of doing. Because, I mean, physics and gravity are naturally going to hold them down, but they want to try and kind of break the Matrix, as it were, and see if they can do the impossible. And they seem to be doing that simply with strength, size, and now leaving their feet a little bit more. Though I like that they don't leave their feet as much as a lot of the other guys. They're big men. They don't need to. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go jump around and take those risks.
And I think it's definitely something that's not going to be every match.
Yeah.
I think this was just a, hey, this isn't just every match that you see with us where we completely annihilate our opponent, even though that is what happened. But they were like, we're not just strength, but we also have some agility.
Right.
And keeping that ring crew on check, too, probably had to tighten up that rope, or those ropes something fierce.
But yeah, especially before and after.
Yeah.
You know, oh, heavy machinery is coming? Grab the wrench. We
gotta do this. A compactor on both Chris and Maluda.
And Maluda just running into Dozovic in pain. Just
I'm gonna
like,
save you!
Bam, like, oh my god.
I made him, like, as as he saw Chris Payne's back coming towards me, I've made a huge mistake.
Bam! Like, and he was Dozer was hitting those Vaders early in the match, now he's got him, and he's using him just a little extra force and weight. He cannot be moved.
Now, you say Vader. For the layperson who may not be as familiar with the Mastodon, how would you describe, what is a Vader?
A Vader's, it's not a shoulder tackle, it's not a clothesline, it is simply using your entire body to stop the forward momentum of another man.
Okay.
And it really, it's easier done when you're taller and you're using a shorter guy, because you aren't going to crack heads. But it's just that wrap around, kind of bump him off your entire body.
With Dozer, though, he's got a little, what he doesn't have in the height that Vader does have. He's a little bit bigger, so there's a little, it seems like there's a little bit less risk in that.
Yeah, Vader. It's true. He's got, I mean, locking up with him has got to be like moving an oak stump. You know, you lock up with it and you can push with all your might, but it's not going anywhere. There's not a whole lot you can do.
Yeah.
And Chris Payne figured that out early. He was trying to outmaneuver him. That worked for a little bit. He's just too big.
And Chris Payne isn't a small dude either.
No, you know? He's taller. He had a height advantage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can be tall and slim and it not mean a damn thing.
Yeah. Well, more on that later. After this, we're in the back with Christy St. Cloud, what up? Talking to Ember about Mercedes Martinez's comments last week about how she knows that Ember is going to be the person to lose the match because you can't win in those big match situations. To which Ember simply replied that she wants to meet her in the ring next week to show her why she is the NXT Women's Division's biggest threat.
Not a stutter, not a misplaced syllable. She 100% believes in what she says because she knows who she is and what she's capable of. And I think Mercedes Martinez, having experience is good, but I think Ember is on a hot streak, and I don't think Mercedes has got what it takes to put away Ember Moon.
I don't think, I mean, agreed on all fronts, but I think there's going to be a lot that Ember is going to be able to learn from being on the other side of the ring of a Mercedes Martinez. And the fact that this is going to be a match before the Fatal 4-Way is only helping Ember in my estimation.
Or if Mercedes gets something really good going for her, then she might be able to slow Ember's progression. It may hurt her in that Fatal 4-Way.
Sure. But I mean, regardless, I think a lot of the competitors in the Fatal 4-Way match aren't necessarily, not to say that they're all one note, but they have certain things about them that make them dangerous. And with Mercedes' experience, she's got a lot of those, a little bit of Peyton Royce, a little bit of Kairi Sane, a little bit of Ember Moon.
Okay.
Like she and a little bit of Nikki Cross with unpredictability. And I think that she's just the perfect, I'd say, setup, at least. Yeah. The perfect final opponent for Ember.
Yeah, a good sparring partner.
Yeah.
But not necessarily a partner, because Mercedes is going to be going for her head.
That's the thing, is I think one way or another, Mercedes is just going to hurt Ember. She's going to try.
That's what you want when you're put in that position. She's not really on the inside. I think she understands her position, not being 100% secure. She's a little bit older, so she's going to want to really put a lot of pressure on Ember to prove why Mercedes belongs here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. After this, speaking of the Fatal 4-Way match, we've got Kairi Sane versus Billy Kay. Oh, boy. So we were talking about height differentials when it came to Dozer and Payne. This is a big size difference between Kay and Sane.
Yeah.
And as a result, Kairi does it to a certain degree in the matches that we've seen her perform in on NXT, but it seemed even more so in this match that she was just throwing herself at, like, there was somebody holding her in the ether and just chucking her.
Yeah.
Because that spear, She left her feet, like, at the ropes and hit her in the middle of the ring.
That was more of a missile.
Yeah.
And less of a spear. I mean, a spear's a fine tackle. But as you said, she was completely parallel to the ground without anything touching it. She launched herself, and she does that.
Yeah.
She understands better than a lot of people that it is your weight that really dictates how hard you can hit. And the more of your weight you put behind all of your strikes and all of everything that you do, the more damage you can do. Her being smaller, she knows she's got to put in 100% of her weight and 100% of that power to cause as much damage as possible. And it works every time.
Yeah.
Because she knows how to do that.
Agreed.
No one else has been trained to do that.
Mm-hmm. Really quickly, going back to the last segment, Dang MQ says that apparently Ember and Mercedes worked together in Shimmer a lot, so hopefully we'll see some of that history bleed into their match next week.
Sure.
What did you think of that torture rack, like, arm lock that Billy had?
Single
arm trap Argentine backbreaker?
It's good. It works really well. I prefer the hanging straitjacket.
Mm.
That's my preference because it puts more pressure on the neck. The torture rack is good, but I think it displaces too much of the energy with the straitjacket. You put so much more pressure on the shoulders and the neck of your opponent. That is what I think she should have done. She was trying to target the arm and elbow, but it wasn't enough.
But she was targeting
the other elbow. Yeah,
which,
but you need both coming down.
Sure, but I think that was a bit of a mistake on Billy Kay's part.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to go for something, go for the glowing red dot on the boss.
Go for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why, again,
tie them both up. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Mm.
This was nuts. Like, this was really nuts. Xeno Hour in chat saying that they would like to see a Kyrie iconic feud. Jose Kinde saying Kyrie and Dream's elbow are both things of beauty. Yeah, they are.
Sure.
Yeah, this match was fun and good for Kyrie. It looks good for Kyrie going into her title opportunity. I'm really excited about that Fatal 4-Way match because no one's the champion, and it really can go either way.
Right.
Whew, and I'm pretty sure we're going to talk more about that next week.
I think 4-Ways with the champion holding have kind of gotten ruined recently. Just too much. It's the same thing kind of over and over again. You play the numbers, you know, oh, the champion can lose it more easily here than anywhere else, and it never happens. But the fact that we're crowning somebody who's brand new, I think is pretty great, and there's really endless ways that this could go, and endless spinoff feuds that could possibly form mid-match.
Well, and even more so, we got one last thing before the end. I want to wait to talk about that. Moving on, we're in the back with Regal talking about how the graphics have been cleared by legal for TakeOver. Sure.
What?
Probably the war game stuff, even though we had it last week. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know.
Hey, I need to say something while somebody walks in.
Yeah.
Cassius Ohno comes in. We've been talking about him a little bit. He mentions how he's been on a roll. He talks about his series with, I almost said it again, but with Itami.
Yeah.
Almost said his old name.
Yeah.
But he wants to get back in the title picture, and he thinks the best possible way to do that is to go after Lars Sullivan. And he's not wrong. Nobody has been able to make a dent in Lars Sullivan. And to be
literally,
like,
figuratively.
No Way Jose, still dead. But aside from that, I don't think it's a terrible strategy. One, to go after it shows your ambition. It shows your ambition. Or your insanity a little bit.
Right.
But also it's one of those things where, yeah, any sort of damage that you can do to Lars Sullivan, and especially as a striker, I think, where he's a guy that can come out of nowhere with various strikes and could possibly throw Lars off of his game. It's not a terrible idea.
No, but I mean, it's one of those things of even Regal had his reservations when when he was walking away, sort of shaking his head and going, well, I sure wouldn't do that, but if you really want to, yeah,
dead man
yeah,
walking.
Go ahead. Fight Lars Sullivan.
Marionette says, it's two big dudes just hitting hard. I love it. True.
I think, though, Cassius Ohno is going to have to do a hell of a lot of bobbing and weaving.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I'm not sure he's 100% prepared to do because he's a bigger guy. He can't really bob and weave with most of his opponents because he's hitting down. He doesn't have to. Most of it's gut shots.
Well, I would say with Lars, he doesn't have quite the reach that Ohno has.
Well, he doesn't have the speed.
No, well, there's that. But, I mean, that's the thing is Ohno is deceptively fast, and his long, especially with his kicks, I think he'll be able to reach in with his kicks, and that will be an advantage.
If one of those is mistimed, though, and Lars ends up with his hands wrapped around any part of his body,
he's going to eat him.
Tear it off.
He's going to eat him.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. And you're right. Maybe a striker's game is the best game to play against
in
Lars
and out.
Sullivan.
In and
just
out.
Just be fast, fight him from a distance. But man, it's going to have to be a really, really smart game plan on Ohno's part to take down this creature.
Also, where the hell did he get an old school real American Cesaro shirt?
Well, I mean,
he's probably had
they
it.
They were a tag team for many years.
Well, yes, I know that, but of all things, like, hey, I really want to wear a Cesaro shirt. Well, we've got the Cesaro shirt. We've got the this.
No,
we've got
I think
the that.
This was a, I'm wearing this shirt and I'm going to cut this promo.
Okay.
I'm sure he saw that shirt while Cesaro had it available and said, hey, man, can you give me that shirt? That shirt's
well, no, I'm sure. But I just want, like, what of all days, of all promos, you know what? Screw it. I want to wear this real American Cesaro shirt.
Who doesn't? Look at
I'm
the eagle on there. Man, it makes you want to give you red, white, and blue wood.
Oh, shoot. Apparently, Lars just gave a really good 280 character tweet. Regardless, while I look that up,
he's a loquacious monster.
Very much so. He's a very well spoken. But we got a history of war games. What did you think of that? We got a
loved
little bit
it,
of a history
man.
From Arn.
Loved it. Leah got Arn and the Dream and Piper and the Road Warriors and oh man, Macho Man. I loved it. I mean, it gives you a sense of what this match really is. I mean, it was, let's say, the Elimination Chamber of its time.
Yeah, no, to be sure,
Yeah, and I think it's just as dangerous now as it was then, and I think it'll be, it's going to be a hell of a match. They've made some changes to the rules, which we'll talk about
in a bit.
But, yeah, this is a survivor's match. It really is.
Lars quote tweeted the scene that we just talked about with Cassius and Regal talking. Thank you, Mr. Regal. I can assure you, Cassius will be the victim of a public dissection at TakeOver. This will generate interest for future TakeOvers. Everyone comes out a winner with this decision. Crying emoji.
Like I said, a loquacious monster.
Loquacious?
He's like
Sumbo.
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein's monster.
He can both, yes, the monster itself with his ability to both speak and be frightening to look at.
It was a fun look back at War Games. If you want a little bit, if you want a little bit more of a personal touch, go and watch the Paul Ellering promo from last week, where Roderick Strong,
a fan favorite.
Man, some of the comments I'm
y'all hate on us pretty hard for not liking Roderick Strong. But man, when you read through those comments, we are really tame.
No. But here's the thing: is we don't not like Roderick Strong,
right?
And we're going to talk about it ad nauseum tonight, where Roderick is his strongest. It's not on the mic.
Oh, sir.
But anyway. Then we got a little bit of an interview from Zelina and Andrade. The fans have been wanting to know, what is your relationship with this man? So apparently they've known each other for over 7 years. 7 years is a very interesting and specific time frame. I wonder what they're going to do with that. Where Andrade... Marionette says that was weird of Roderick just standing there with the AOP.
Yeah,
it was.
Right.
But Andrade coming through with 10 days, there will be a new champion.
He's pretty confident.
But so we've only gotten it a couple of times where it's like, oh, it's weird that person has a manager, has a representative to talk for them because they're pretty strong. When in terms of conveying how they feel. With Andrade, there's also been a little bit of a language barrier. English not his first language, that's fine. So he would give a lot of his promos in Spanish, which, of course, is heat because you're not talking American. But
well, especially to a Florida crowd.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's heat in a Florida crowd.
But with Zelina, you have somebody that is not only bilingual, but is also very well-spoken and very animated and very heated about her client and her friend or the person, well, whatever.
I mean, it truly is. It's not just a manager who talks for their client. She manages him. She sets up the game plan of execution. That is what we have seen. She mentioned it in the promo. Mm-hmm. You cannot beat him now. You may have been able to beat him previously,
of him.
But you cannot beat him so long as I am here to actually guide him to a victory.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to argue, because it was her insertion into this whole thing that allowed Andrade to actually start to rack up victories and actually give a shit about what's happening.
Okay.
Because truly, man didn't care. But through her, He has found a reinvigorated his career, and he cares about wins and losses and being the champion, and it's only because of her. And that is truly her role. And it is almost, you know, Paul Heyman in quality.
Yeah.
It is they are the brains behind the actual execution.
Mm-hmm. And I'm still super interested because of almost a streak that he's been on ever since Zelina became into the fold, and now seemingly suddenly he has an NXT title match. That's because he's been getting results. I'm excited to see how these two guys match up, and they're going to be going face to face next week finally for the first time, and it's really going to hammer home that this match is going to be something that you're not going to want to miss.
I don't think, though, that Zelina is going to be able to get physically involved against Drew McIntyre, because he's friggin' huge.
He's like 3 feet taller than her.
Right.
And she, not if even
she tries, if she tries to whip off that nice Rana, he's going to go, off me.
Just launch her off. But that's the thing, is she didn't have to get involved physically with Gargano the first time. It was only subsequently.
Right.
So it's whether Drew is ready for that third proverbial third man on the field.
She's not much of a physical threat, but it is, as a distraction, he should be concerned about what
she's
doing.
Dude, I know we just talked like jokingly about that Rana, but she could still be a physical threat.
I mean,
even a hook around a leg.
That's true.
Like, because he does that big kick, the big boot. The
Claymore.
Yeah. So all it takes, like, yeah.
If she was able to pull Andrade out of the ring.
Something like
while
that.
While he's gearing up to lay that down, it'd be enough to save
or,
him.
Or holding his head against the bottom turnbuckle while he runs on and does the knees.
Yeah. Or by the hair.
Got or by the
long hair.
Hair.
Grab that hair, pull it way back, and just kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She
is all right. It's possible.
Yeah, Drew is a tall ass dude. He's a tree.
Yeah.
Very, very true.
He is the Highland Games.
Jose Kingdom brings up this point. Paul is Brock's mouthpiece, but Almas and Zelina are a team.
I think Paul and Brock are more of a team than
these
Brock
two
would like to let on. Mm. I mean, it's sort of one is the advocate for the other, but truly one could not exist currently without the other.
Yeah.
And I think that's true of Zelina and Cien and Brock and Paul.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Hey, so Velveteen Dream versus Cesar Bononi. Now, Cesar Bononi, as of late, has kind of just been like your Steve Cutlers. A guy coming in, you don't know how it's going to work. Maybe he'll get a victory. A lot of the times he doesn't, but he's new at the Performance Center. He's getting more comfortable. This match between him and Dream, it started out like a bloodbath. It was like a slugfest.
It was a couple of big dudes swinging hard on each other.
Was not expecting this
brawl-styled match, especially since they were what did they say as a promo for Dream? It was like putting over his his grappling ability.
Something like that.
That is not at all what happened.
Yeah, no.
This was a bar fight. It was. Like in a wrestling ring.
Beating the crap out of each other.
Holy
just
crap.
Just big over the back of the neck. Like his Dream's uppercuts.
Yeah, everything was just as hard hitting as they could possibly get it, which is great when you have just two guys doing that. I love that kind of wrestling, just swinging away on each other. Freaking love it.
It's always been one of my favorite things about Dream, as we mentioned several times, like his match with Drew McIntyre, where they were just beating the crap out of each other and not relenting. It yeah. wasn't, I don't want you to hit me. It's like, try to hit me again.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. We got a classic don't touch me when the ref is trying to pull him off of Benoni.
Hey, lady wanted a piece. What can we say? Everybody wants to put their hands on the Dream.
Listen, this is going to sound really weird, but we've seen Dream in the back, and we're just like, dear God.
Everybody wants a piece of that chocolate cake.
Yo.
Just saying. Hey. Hey. I'm a confident man. I'm a man.
I'm a confident man?
Who's feeling feelings toward another man.
Just keep going. This is the rest of the show. So something interesting, and actually something that that was mentioned earlier in chat, is that Dream didn't do his elbow,
it
which is an amazing elbow drop, yeah. And I don't think he's not doing it. I think it shows the intensity and the veracity, and also how much he cared about beating Cesar Bononi. Because if it was somebody that he was really aggressive towards, it was a combo. It was the DVD into and as a setup,
pop up top, drop it.
But the fact that it was just the DVD bomb that took care of Cesar Bononi.
That's
serious.
So I think that was a statement that I don't need both of these things together to beat anybody. This move singularly can put away any opponent, and it got the point across. I mean, I think everybody felt thoroughly surprised that that was all that did it, because that's all that needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
He's dangerous. The Dream is dangerous. So. Keep that in mind.
Dream is very different. Is very much of a difference maker in that, especially with that elbow. But we got a gotcha! I gave you what you needed, and now the Velveteen Dream is on your mind. When all that's dark comes to light, the Velveteen Dream gets what he wants when you say my name. Hit it! Oh, man, that's great.
I want this match to be a say my name match.
Like, it's the opposite.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
You gotta say your opponent's name to actually, and they'll gain the victory.
It's like an
I quit match, only more personal in this case. Mm-hmm. Way more personal. So it's pretty boss.
Jose Kinde in chat, we did actually bring up that commentary mentioned something about him showcasing his grappling when he just beat the crap out of him, and that was really silly.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what happened. Like, okay, whatever.
In the back, apparently Ruby... Wow, I didn't finish it. It's like I was gonna almost said Ruby Rod. That is not who that is.
Ruby Rod.
Ruby Riott apparently sustaining a little bit of an ankle injury as a result of Sonya Deville's ankle lock from the triple threat match a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's been told. We found out that she's gonna need a couple of weeks to rest from the injury. But Sonya pops into the trainer's room and just starts berating her. You should have tapped. Next time I'm gonna break or no. It's like. No, because she said that afterwards. But it was just berating her, talking her down. Ruby was like, you could have broken it, and I wouldn't have given up, which is amazing. But apparently, so Ruby challenged her for one-on-one, but with the implication that they'll see who's number one in the women's division. Do we have a number one? Is this an unofficial number one contender match?
It might be, because when you have four individuals that, and all of them can be crowned for the title, there's no rematch.
Yeah,
there's
that's
no
all
immediate
four.
Rematch, and all the other three individuals essentially have to go to the back to figure out who the number one contender is. So it could be that these two who are not involved in that fatal four-way, one of whom might actually become the number one contender. It's very possible. We just need the paperwork done to actually solidify it as such.
And with it being a couple weeks, I wonder if this is going to be a match in Houston that we see the week after TakeOver.
Right. It might, I could see that happening. That'd be pretty cool.
I would love to see that. But the button. Oh, damn, Sonya's the best. Heal fast so I can break it. Ooh, what a jerk. Oh, that was the best. Oh, man.
Those two are pretty great together.
Yeah, I like it.
So confident.
But we could also, we could feel it in the triple threat match whenever they would have parts together or whenever Sonya was in control. It felt
Sonya's
really good.
A beast.
No,
she's a beast, man.
So
I don't have to say it, but I'm going to say it. She's a beast.
Speaking of beasts, let's talk about our new married couple. So, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins are in the back talking about how they're trying to swagify the NXT universe. They give a passerby a Street Profits cup, send him on his way.
Yep.
And they see a guy, they try to give him a cup. He's like, actually, I'm looking for Tino Sabatelli. I'm delivering the suit. So as Montez goes, I'm Tino Sabatelli. You Italian?
Yeah,
Montebello. But takes the suit. I thought they were going to, like, spill stuff on it, like, from the cup.
They didn't get a chance.
They didn't get a chance because our happy couple, Sabatelli and Moss, it's like, this is a... But this is the weird thing. I think it's Moss. Because Sabatelli's like, hey, that's my $5,000 suit. To which Moss goes, yeah, that's our suit.
Wait.
Much like last week, and he was like, that's our car. And it's like, come on, man.
Yo, okay. All right. Okay. I mean, you want a billion chucks this. That's cool, man. I ain't got no problem.
Yeah. Oh, really quickly, Jose Kinde again. Imagine if Dream wears Ruby Rod's outfit at TakeOver. Because it's a TakeOver. Like,
all right.
It would be hot, hot, hot.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. This it becomes official. We are going to be getting a match between these four next week. Moss is, he's just likes having a pal, it seems.
I
don't know.
I mean, they are always together.
They're inseparable. Hey, man.
They share everything.
I mean, I think Moss thinks that they share everything.
Well, I don't know.
We don't know.
They're certainly not breaking up, so...
Breaking up is hard enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want more on Moss and Sabatelli.
Yeah.
They keep saying weird things that
you
aren't
You can't
weird.
Afford
just,
our suit.
They're just unexplained. There is no real reason why these things are being said.
Steve, could you go to the general soundboard? Or Zach's soundboard if you can find it, because I want the X-Files theme.
I do not understand what is happening.
He's not there. That's okay. Yeah, me either. Oh boy, but we're gonna be getting a match from these folks next week. Super excited about it.
South Beach driving their Maserati.
So we're getting that, and then next week we're also getting Ember Moon versus Mercedes Martinez. And then the face-off between Drew and Andrade next week.
Big go-home.
That's three events already. There might be one other match in between. Maybe one final thing between Aleister Black and Dream.
A lot of hype packages, I imagine.
Probably.
For the go-home.
Yeah. Let's talk about this amazing main event. So, Roddy and Adam had a hell of a match. This was an amazing match that it's one of those things where it's just shut up and fish. And they, I wasn't talking about Bobby Fish. Just shut up and wrestle. And they did it. And it was all left in the ring. This was, what did you think of it?
Like, it was.
Roddy put on a clinic.
It's the reason why everybody likes Roderick Strong. Mm-hmm. Because he leaves everything in the ring. And against a guy like Adam Cole, who is just, I mean, people love him.
Baby.
People hate him. People love to hate him. And it's no question why he's kind of a jerk.
Kind of?
Like, I can't really use the language I want to use, but he's kind of a jerk.
It's another four-letter word that ends with a K.
Yeah. But everything he does is really well-timed, Adam Cole. He's able to really play on timing issues and really... figure out the weakness of an opponent and play on it really well. And it was the same for Roddy. But Roddy is he really just wanted to hurt Adam Cole. And you got that feeling in this match when he was able to hit some of those snap backbreakers out of nowhere and that sort of devil-may-care backbreaker in the corner on the top turnbuckle that just sent both men crashing to the canvas. It was a way more personal matchup than I thought we were going to have.
You think, really?
Might have been a little bit more testing the waters. Because, I mean, Adam Cole hasn't had a chance to really wrestle. He's been sort of saving himself for when it really counts.
Marriage.
Yes, and tonight it seemed like he married Roderick Strong.
Well, I don't know, because even so, like, he didn't come out with, like, Undisputed Era wasn't in full effect until the end. And because Fish and O'Reilly came out and disrupted the match, I think that was the plan all along. I don't think there was ever going to be a thing where Adam Cole, baby, gets the official win. I think no matter what.
Well, it was after that very dangerous moment where they both men came crashing to the canvas, Fish and O'Reilly come out and really just check on Cole.
Yeah.
They don't really care about Strong too much, so much as their leader was just in a really bad accident.
Yeah, it's a strategic move. Is they cause the end of the match by not necessarily starting a fight so that they can be ready for the brawl that was about to ensue.
I would have liked a promo before this match.
Yeah.
At least from Cole, explaining why this match means what it means to him. From Roddy. Roddy, it's obvious. Me. It's really everything they've been playing up has worked really well to sort of get us invested in why Roderick Strong is not having any of this. But I want to hear from Cole why this matters. You know, I want to hear why he has decided to have this particular match and why for him he's just jumping in there with Roderick Strong. He's not running away. At no point during this match did he really backpedal and run away.
No.
He was there 100%, and before one of the biggest matches of his career thus far, I would like to hear his thoughts on why this match matters to him the way it does.
Well, I mean, everybody made one of those promos. Everybody made a War Games promo afterwards. Just our attention was on the AOP one.
Not a War Games promo, but a promo for
that match particular.
This match.
Oh, I see. Okay.
This match in particular. I want to know why Adam Cole isn't trying to run away. I could see Adam Cole really just every time Roderick Strong manages to get the better of him, he just backs out and goes, "Hey, man, I don't want to fight you. I want to recruit you."
Yeah.
Just every
Why was
time
he fighting him?
Why was he fighting him? Mm-hmm. Exactly. It was a great match, but I want to understand the psychology behind it. What was Adam Cole's reason for having this match?
Okay. I can see that. Maybe we'll get something next week.
Maybe.
The show ends with a big old brawl with all three of our teams and a superplex to the outside. Man, Alexander Wolf is a crazy person.
He's really nuts.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
He almost didn't make it. Roddy almost didn't make it. He hit the floor.
It's tough. That's catching two guys for that superplex.
But that's the thing. Is that a falling motion or is that a push off?
That's the question.
That's the
you
big question.
You never know. Is the guy actually going to get more distance going this way? How far is the guy going to go off the top? Is he going to pull him? If they stay together, the guy jumps far off the top. They can pull each other back. But if he just goes over, then you're going to fall short, as Roddy did. He just sort of went down.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, crap!
Yeah. Hoo boy. That was a very... very solid episode of NXT. And there are times when we come to you and we mention some episodes have been lighter. Some episodes have been either top heavy or bottom heavy. But the past couple of weeks have been super solid.
It's been good TV.
Very solid. Very solid TV. And next week is hopefully going to even elevate that even further.
Yeah, it should.
Jose Kinde says he was just waiting for Nikki to pop out and take everyone out. It's going to happen at TakeOver.
Yeah. We were kind of questioning the same thing. Where's Nikki? Nikki's going to wait till it really matters. Mm-hmm. Nothing's on the line here. Why would she come out now? No.
They're trying to protect her for her match.
Right.
I think as well.
True.
And War Games will probably be the final match.
Hell, we might even see them come out to secure her the victory and then
vice versa.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
3 for 1 and 1 for 3.
That's the thing about sanity is they do whatever they want, and they just leave you guessing as to what could possibly happen. Because anything could happen.
So, speaking of anything could happen, we're going to talk a little bit of AfterBuzz TV news.
AfterBuzz TV news.
Just making sure you were there. Thanks, Steve. So, they released the rules for War Games. We're going to talk about it. They've simplified it. They've streamlined it.
A little more sped up, but more dangerous.
A lot more dangerous.
More speed is more danger.
So, here's what happens. Each, you can even fade out the music, I just wanted the sting, thank you. But the match is going to start as a triple threat match. One representative of each team is going to be in the ring. 5 minutes after, and I should say, the other members of those teams are up on the stage in shark cages, because we can't get enough of shark cages.
I love a shark cage!
Like, it's, I don't know, we've heard the just shark cage so many times within the last calendar year. The first time, not calendar year, like actual 365 year. The first time being at this event last year when it was Authors of Pain versus TM61 with Paul Ellering in a shark cage suspended above the ring. But, so, the tag teams are up on the stage in shark cages, and then after 5 minutes, one of those cages is going to be unlocked, and then it's going to turn into 3-on-1-on-1.
It's going to have to be a big cage.
Especially for the Alp.
Yeah, to lock two guys.
Does Ellering get locked in there too?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So then it becomes 3-on-1-on-1. After 3 minutes, it becomes 3-on-3-on-1. Whoever that last one's going to be, screwed.
So it really changes from 3 guys to 5 guys. To 7 guys,
like 5 guys,
and then the final to 9 total in ring. It really changes the dynamic extremely quickly when you add 2 guys simultaneously into this matchup.
I think it's pretty straightforward. Pinfalls, or I should say decisions.
Is it elimination?
It's not elimination. It's one fall to the finish, but you can only...
Jesus.
But you can only pin and submit people once everybody is in the match.
So essentially,
so after,
it's a complete bloody brawl for the first...
10, 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want and try to kill each other so that once that last team comes in, you quickly scoop somebody up, 1, 2, 3. Try to do that.
It's war.
Yeah.
It hasn't been mentioned whether or not the roof is going to return, but that's, this is going to be crazy. That both rings are going to be in play the entire night, so that will make all of the other matches very interesting. Speaking of matches that are happening that night, Pete Dunne's going to be defending his UK championship against Johnny Gargano, to which you responded,
He doesn't even go here. I don't have the words. I don't understand.
But
he's Italian. He's not.
You know whatever. Who else is Italian? Fabian Aichner. We like him. And you can go to nxteam.spreadshirt.com and pick up a We Like Ike t-shirt.
We like Ike.
You can also get this shirt.
I mentioned that to Laquasto. He was like, boy, that's a deep pullback.
That is a fun dad joke.
Like, I love that.
It's a fun dad joke.
Yeah, it is.
It's a
non-televised title match between two guys who've never seen each other in the ring before, as far as I'm aware. That may or may not be true. But, I mean, there's no freaking way Johnny Gargano's going to win this championship. At least put another Brit in there so we go, okay, all right, well, now maybe this has a chance to change hands.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way Gargano's going to pick up the win. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. I'm just double-checking because the various sources that I have seen this from have said that it is just going to be a non-televised match, not for the week after.
Why would it be non-televised?
I don't know, dude.
Actually, no.
I remember WWE's wording. They tweeted about it that it's a special. It's a special for the folks in. Quote, the company's announcement says that he will be wrestling Johnny Gargano on November 18th and explains, this match will not air as a part of that night's TakeOver War Games live special on the WWE Network, meaning those lucky NXT fans in attendance in the Toyota Center will have an exclusive opportunity to watch the title bout unfold before their eyes. Actually, that wording is very vague. It could it could be for the next week, because we did get before Chicago there was a title defense on the NXT TV.
It was for
that was back when Bate was the I think it was Bate and Andrews or something
like that.
But yeah, but either way, it's a way to get him to defend the title.
I don't know, man.
I don't know either. Either way, if we get to see that match, fantastic. If we don't, that's stupid. So, the last little bit of news is we had some releases this week. Unfortunately, Leo Gao, who is apparently very popular amongst the Performance Center and the locker room,
it's
let go. But he seemed to have been he suffered an injury and has been it's been hard to get him back.
Supposedly a neck injury.
That's hard.
Very difficult injury, whatever it was. Obviously, it was enough to sideline him for a good chunk of time. Yeah. So, I'm sure he'll land on his feet.
Also, Josh Bredel?
I don't know, man.
I
met him. I don't know how to say his name.
Fair. Hi, Josh. The winner of Tough Enough. So now both of our Tough Enough winners
gone.
Yep. Shout out to the Velveteen Dream.
Yep. Hey, winners never prosper.
Winners never prosper, pewter. versus the Miz. But yeah. So Josh Brittle gone. Didn't really get a chance to see him in the ring.
Well, he opened his mouth a little bit too big and didn't make some friends.
And he was hurt too, wasn't he?
I really super don't
I think he was.
I can't remember.
But then the last one, unfortunately, he was hurt, and seemingly we thought that he was about to come back. Sawyer Fulton, one of the founding members of Sanity.
I saw him backstage when I was doing extra work.
And,
he slimmed down a lot.
He was a big one.
Almost unrecognizable.
Really?
Yeah. And I it just sounds like things kind of went in a different direction as far as his wrestling career was concerned. He was part of founding member of Sanity. Mm-hmm. Then he got hurt. Then he was replaced. And I think after that, there was really nothing for him. So
which
I,
is
I
very
think
unfortunate.
It's just a tough situation. That's injuries are the hardest thing on a wrestling career.
Yeah.
And if you can somehow work through it, you can keep your momentum going. But if it's something that's going to take you out for a long period of time, and this did, and it really hurt his career, and it's just unfortunate. I'm sure he's going to be okay. I know he's involved in the Florida wrestling scene.
Yeah.
I think he'll land on his feet as well. Whatever he wants to do, I'm sure he's going to be just fine.
Yeah. Much love to all the folks that got released this week. We're pretty sure you're going to land on your feet. It's sad, but hey, door opens, window opens, door closes, window opens, whatever the saying is.
You got a lot of knowledge, too. Everybody who leaves WWE leaves a lot smarter than when they came in, and if they can share that knowledge with the greater wrestling community, it makes us all better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the WWE's model for a while now, and I think it's a great business model for them and for wrestling as a whole.
And then by the time folks come back around up to NXT or wherever, they have a little bit of that knowledge and sense about them. But that'll do it for this episode of the NXT After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We have been the NXT team. We are missing Bill Hanstock, but he'll be back next week, as well as a fourth member of the team that will be here next week as well. But until next week, Hobo, what are you doing? Where can the folks find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TrueHobo. Next week, Thursday, is Turkey Mania Wrestling. Pro Wrestling's Turkey Mania. They are crowning the Turkey champion. It is the belt itself.
Is a turkey?
It's the biggest belt I have ever seen in professional wrestling. Bigger than the big gold belt. And yes, has a turkey on it.
Thank God.
It
only be defended on Thanksgiving?
I don't know. It is majestic. It is perfect that it's being, the first champion is being crowned at this event, Turkey Mania, in Southgate.
make sure to head over to Wrestling Pro Wrestling. How about anything, like, aside from Wrestling Pro Wrestling you're working on?
I'm super busy.
Well, that's good. That's good. So if you want to keep track of all of the Hobo's travelings, follow him at True Hobo.
Yeah.
And if you want to follow all of my happenings, go to at Mark B. Donica. That's where I'm at. If you like video games, stream video games from Inventory Full PT on Twitch. It's a video game channel where we do talk shows as well as game streaming. It's a lot of fun. Also, make sure to watch X-Pac 12360. We had Pete Gass today. That boy is a chatterbox, but he had a lot to say, and you should go and listen to it. Also, make sure to watch all of the other programming here on AfterBuzz TV, wrestling and sports, including the actual sports stuff, as well as the sports entertainment stuff. Thank you so much for watching this episode of the NXT After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.